The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. Welcome to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken is off today, and we are going to talk about a sunny, warm weekend. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay so far. It's early. It was clear. It was a little cooler this morning than I was hoping for.
I was going to say happy spring, but it's chilly out. It's not spring-like yet.
Crisp, but there was not a cloud in the sky. The sun's going to be out. It's supposed to be warm and beautiful.
Finally.
I walked past my poor tomatoes still sitting in their six packs, but they were chilly this morning, but they'll get some sun.
Is this the one that you spoke of last week on the radio that we bought?
Was that last week?
Yes. Yeah. Or was it? Yeah, it was definitely last week you spoke about it.
Yes.
You
okay. Yeah, those are the same.
Well, in fairness, we brought 12 home. I have six of them in the ground. The other six will go in today.
Okay.
So I'm halfway there.
There's a song there somewhere. Yes. Peppers are not in. I didn't put anything in the ground.
Oh. It's been wet.
Well, I did put something in the ground, but we'll talk about that later. We're not right now. Okay. Not right now. Weather. We had a decent rain event that came and went. We had
another one.
We've had a nice few days of sun. We're supposed to have sun today, tomorrow, and Monday is supposed to be the warmest day of this weekend.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
I know it doesn't really count as the weekend.
Oh.
But then they're talking about another storm in the middle of next week. And the details on how much rain for how long are not quite clear, but just count on having rain in the middle of the week. Why are you shaking
That's
your head?
That's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Well, I'm shaking my head because you may know we had a tree service come out a couple weeks ago. Did a phenomenal job. The guys did a great job. And then they backed their large truck with the bucket on it onto the property to dump the chips on the property,
the
which we wanted. We wanted it there. And then the truck promptly sunk, and it's been there since. They can't get it out. They're waiting for a few days of good dry weather.
So well, they had it.
No, they haven't. That those couple days were not enough. It was still very muddy. So we're waiting, and hopefully maybe Monday or Tuesday
they're
they can come and get it out.
A helicopter to come drag it out.
You know people still in the Navy, don't you?
I do, but this is a big truck.
They fly. The Navy doesn't have helicopters that could pick up that truck and move it onto the street?
Actually, we don't. Those were H-53s maybe could do it in tandem perhaps, but...
So do we need to enlist the Marines?
I think we're going to enlist a very large tow truck to get this out of the mud, but they're waiting for it to be a little less slick before they do so.
Makes sense.
Anyway, that's why I was shaking my head. I welcome the rain. We need it. It's the trees, the shrub, everything looks wonderful, except right now I need a little bit of sunshine.
Right. Try it out.
I might be selfish, but I need sunshine.
And apparently I am not enough sunshine for you this morning.
You wane once in a while.
House.
Right.
Yeah.
I was watching something yesterday, and they were trying to remember the name of an actor. It was Robert Blake on an old Tonight Show episode, and he was thinking of the movie Little Miss Sunshine with Walter Matthau. He could not remember Walter Matthau, which I'm your little Miss Sunshine today.
Every day, David.
Thank
Every
you, sir.
Day.
Do we have any classes coming up?
We do. Today, Saturday, March 25th in San Diego at 9 a.m. is Staghorn Fern Care and Remounting with Olivia. You just did that last week up in Poway, right?
Yes, yeah. But I was not
the week before.
Olivia.
Right.
I was not Olivia.
And then at 9:30 in Poway, Tomatoes Care, Culture, and Selections with Farmer Roy.
I thought you were going to say tomato, tomato.
No.
With Farmer Roy.
Farmer Roy from Poway Gardens, the memory care community.
The
that
memory
Farmer
care,
Roy.
That farmer, the world famous, infamous Farmer
yeah.
Roy.
Yeah, I better text him the phone number.
Perhaps so. And so he'll be in teaching tomatoes and selections. And I know Brian brought in a lot of extra tomatoes with new varieties in preparation for this class. And I assume the San Diego store also has a bunch.
Yeah, I would assume so.
The availabilities also have expanded dramatically the last few weeks. And
I can only imagine.
I think Tomato Mania was up at Rogers a week or two ago, and so some of the growers had some extra of the Tomato Mania varieties that we got in.
We had a handful of different Japanese varieties over the last couple of days.
Black Trifle?
I think that was one of them, but there were four or five different Japanese varieties.
Yeah,
you didn't hear that, did you? Oh, good. The
Black
tomato.
Trifle?
I think it's
regular. I've never heard of that one. Obviously, new varieties, but what's special about these?
I just make stuff up.
Oh, okay. Very good.
It's radio.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Roy will talk about those today.
Very good.
Okay. Could you repeat those? Because I was so busy talking about nothing, I didn't hear what those two classes were.
9 a.m. in San Diego, Staghorn Fern Care and Remounting with Olivia, and Tomatoes Care, Culture, and Selections with Farmer Roy.
And next week?
And next week we have, that's April 1st, at 9 a.m., Houseplants with Ted in San Diego. And in Poway, we're going to have Cleaning, Storing, and Starting Native Plant Seeds with Renee Murphy.
No fooling?
No fooling.
April 1st.
April 1st.
She's kind of a big deal now.
She is a big deal now. And we're very fortunate that she's willing to come down and do some classes for us periodically. She's done two a year for the last several years for us.
She might be replacing Brigitte.
As the big deal?
As the big deal. She's been doing a lot of environmental remediation using plants.
Well.
And doing presentations and things. And natives are her passion.
And she's a great speaker, unlike the rest of us.
Well, you too.
Well, the rest of us.
I'm just kidding.
A Festivus?
Yeah. So what do you have in your yard right now that you're eating? What's ripe and
citrus.
Lots of citrus.
Yeah. Lots of citrus. Pixies, Jinchangs, two different types of grapefruit. Did you try either of those grapefruit?
We have. One was a bit more sour than the other, but any grapefruit's delicious.
Okay. So. Were the older ones?
The older ones were more, I think, were more sour.
Were more sour?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to go to the other tree then, because I can't have this.
And the reason for that was we took the last of our young hybrid cocktail.
They're all going to be sour compared to cocktail.
Cocktail is so good. That's a delicious
grapefruit.
These
are just grapefruit, George. You can't.
If I had more room and you know, disposable income for water, I mean, we're up to 20-something citrus now. I would add another cocktail. But that is a delicious tree.
You know, maybe if you went down with some storage devices and sucked some of the water out of the lower portion of your property, you could save it for summer, take care of more citrus trees, and get the truck out there all in one fell swoop.
Exactly.
Great idea. I will start doing that. Do you collect rain? We had all this rain, and you're talking about collecting water. Do you collect it in any manner besides?
Yes.
In buckets?
No.
That
well, okay. Yes, I do collect it in some buckets, which we need to make sure get dumped so that the mosquito larvae don't have a place to breed. As little as a thimbleful. It's all they need. But I direct my water to the lower property so it percolates into the soil and restores groundwater.
Well, that's very, very noble of you, but I don't believe you did that on purpose.
No.
Okay.
Well, that is, you believe correctly. I did not. I did not. And, you know, I have to come back to me for a moment because Pomelo.
Oh, yes.
My giant seedless pomelo, which I need to figure out which one it is. The flavors on it are fantastic. It really is good, either with or without vodka.
Now, when we were up at the UC Riverside citrus presentation a couple weeks back, the last piece of fruit we ate was a pomelo. And it was called a Rojo Blanco. What was it?
Blanco Rojo.
Blanco Rojo. That, I think, was the best pomelo I've ever eaten.
Well, you haven't had this one.
That's not my fault.
I haven't shared.
But that said, David does bring in some very good fruit. But that particular one, you ate that as well. How does it compare?
Very different. I compare Blanco Rojo more to, I think it is more similar to Valentine Pomelo, which is a non-pomelo tasting pomelo. It is a blood orange of pomelos, and it has different colors in it. It does turn kind of an orangey with red streaks in it when it's ripe. But those flavors are just, they're not something you would associate with the exterior of the fruit. Judging a book by its cover does not work with many of the pomelos, nor the Wikiwa, which are ripe right now. You know how I know my Wikiwa are ripe?
You're eating them. Yeah, the rats are eating them.
Well, yeah. They're falling to the ground like crazy. They don't hold on the tree.
I need to go out and look on mine and see what we have going.
Do you still have your clementines? Are they coming on? Or?
Oh, yeah. People have been harvesting them for,
You still consuming them?
Yeah, I don't really have them very much anymore. But
are you not a citrus guy?
I love citrus, but
tedious to peel?
A little, yes.
Start juicing them.
I know.
Okay.
My mom used to do that. I don't know why I haven't, but.
It'll screen the seeds out of them and makes it easy, and then you can.
So true.
You don't have to spend time peeling.
Yeah. And you don't have to spend time peeling. What were you? You were looking up something.
Oh no! I was thinking of the pomelo we were just speaking of, and you said yours is more like a Valentine,
I was comparing the Blanco Rojo to the Valentine. I think it is more similar flavor wise to this.
And I was just curious from whether or not it was a. Any parentage was the Valentine, and it's not. It's a red blush grapefruit and a Weber Tangelo.
And what is the parentage of the Oro Blanco?
Well, keep talking, and I'll let you know.
What took you away from your citrus, Marky? Did you have a bad breakup?
No. Everything is fine. I just don't get out there as much as I used to.
Gotcha.
That's all.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, we need to.
But yeah, the citrus is very. Antonio comes over every once in a while, and he takes a bag full, and he loves them, so.
We were talking about sharing earlier, were we not?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay. I don't know why that came to mind.
Antonio's gotten them, but you have to go out there and get them.
All the fruit trees, including the citrus, are blooming like crazy right now.
Right.
And kind of annoyed because the rain is not conducive to bees enjoying my fruit trees. And so I'm afraid I'm going to have a bad fruit set. But there's a lot of blossoms. And I guess it's because it's been so cool and overcast, the trees are blooming longer. They're not going out of bloom as quickly. So we get more chances for bloom.
When there's been breaks in the rain, have you noticed a lot of bee activity?
I've not noticed a lot. I've noticed bees and then bee activity.
Well, you know, we have the hive, so whenever the weather breaks and I'm out there, the bees are foraging everywhere, and it's wonderful.
I'm going to need to
invest.
I'm going to have to get a hive. And, you know, it's wonderful that Kevin Grangetto reached out today because I think they have beekeeping supplies, do they not?
I don't know.
I might be able to parlay this into
absolutely
something for Dave.
Yes!
Why else, right?
Yes.
So the parentage for the Oro Blanco. This is interesting.
That.
It's 2 minutes ago. It's a 2N acidless pomelo and a 4N seedy white grapefruit.
Oh, the seedy one. I knew it. It came from the wrong side of the tracks. You are listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with more Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. If you would like to give us a call... Oh, Ken's not here. That's what I was supposed to say there. He's off today. If you would like to give us a call, the number is still 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. And while we were in the break, I realized that people with knowledge were reaching out to us during the show, and I wasn't paying attention, and it is black truffle
That's
tomato.
That's the tomato, okay.
I'm not going to trifle over a truffle. And Grangetto's does not stock bee supplies, but can get them for you. However, Grangetto's does stock rain collection barrels.
Materials. Yeah. I have a bunch at my other house that we would collect about 1,000 gallons with a simple rain pretty regularly.
Wow.
The downside to collecting it here is you don't really need it this
when
time
it's
when it's raining, and then you know you use a lot of it pretty quickly.
How
later
far does 1,000 gallons go?
It goes pretty well
yard.
For small things.
Yes,
and,
it does.
And with this rain that we've been having, I've been collecting some of it and using it on the house plants and all the porch plants that don't get rain.
Right.
I've been using the rainwater.
You are
and they look so much better.
You
yeah.
are spectacular. Spectacular.
I'm just a lazy guy. I'm trying to make the plants look good.
Rainwater is the best.
It is. Rainwater is the best. Even, well, I would say some people might disagree with that when it comes to excess rainwater.
Oh, fair enough.
And
but
I have found myself complaining about the rain a touch this year. Have either of you complained about how much rain we've had? Or thought, gosh, maybe we could skip a storm this week or something? George?
My hand is up. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Mahady? I have been complaining quite a bit. I did my DNA, and I have plant DNA, and I need more sunshine than I need, you know, and I need some sun once in a while, and this rain has been, it demotivates me. I don't get as much done. Even working out, I don't feel like working out as much unless I have sun.
Yeah.
I don't know how to respond to that. I am so shocked by this revelation. I think
I could not live in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fungus corners. I enjoy it. I love the rain. I love heavy rain.
I love it too.
Yeah,
I love thunder, lightning.
Like
I love it, but not
consistent.
I need some breaks. I need some
you
know sun in between.
Yeah,
you
I
had
agree.
Consistent not rain for the last 74 years in a row, practically here in Southern California. Buck it up and take it for the team.
I'm only 64.
It, okay?
I missed those other 10 years.
Exactly.
But I might be exaggerating a tiny bit, but it has created some issues. I know. Have you had issues other than trucks parking themselves permanently in your property?
Well, we have. I mean, when you have this much rain, you get a lot of snails and slugs. You get a lot of weeds. The weeds are doing really
this
well.
This is the best weed year I ever remember.
Or worse, depending on one's perspective.
Correct. But
well, I would say the best weed year would be the worst weed year.
Okay.
I would
best
say
for the weeds, worse for you?
Synonymous.
It's like the snails. It's amazing how many snails I've stepped on.
Accidentally, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
In my yard or in my backyard. It's crazy. Or just seeing them out front, it's nuts.
Yeah, they're decimating a lot of the crop right
Correct.
Now. Now, we were talking earlier about what you have in your garden, you know, what you're harvesting. Do you have any vegetables you're harvesting? Because that's where I'm noticing the snails the most in my yard.
No. My onions are totally overrun by weeds.
Okay.
And I accidentally mowed them. Now, this is the old onion patch that I left and never harvested from last year. The new onion patch was decimated by another creature.
What was it, pray tell?
It was them. It was a they. They it was
gopher.
A bunch. It was more than one. Gopher. I have had a bad year with gophers.
Now, I would argue you've had one heck of a great 4 or 5 days with gophers.
I've had a great week. And do you know why I've had a good week? Well, you probably do because I've been bragging about it all week.
Success rate's been pretty good.
I went old school. I went back to basics. I went and danced with the one who brung you and went back to the old school traps. And I've gotten 10 gophers that I know of.
Well, hang on. Week. You did not get 10 gophers. Let's back up a little bit.
I got 8 gophers
there
this
we go.
Week
okay.
with an assist from a black cat whom I don't know.
But you wanted to befriend.
Yes, because on Monday I watched that black cat slap a gopher out of a hole and take it up and eat it. And then Tuesday when I came home, I didn't see him take it out of the garden, out of the onion patch that I've lost. Probably 75 or 80% of the onions are gone to the gophers. But he was coming out of the onion patch with another gopher. So that's 2. I've gotten 2 with Maccabee traps, 2 with the half-shell green gonzo traps, and 4 with the black hole traps.
Wow.
And those are the traps that I've always used, but I've heard so many good things about the gopher hawk, I had to try it.
And you've not had much success.
And I've failed miserably. I've only caught gophers with the gopher hawks the first time I bring them home, and never a successive gopher.
Gopher hawk works once for you?
It works once. It's okay. A one and done. And it the beauty of it is you don't have to dig. There's no holes. You just, well, it's a tiny hole. It's a right. 1-inch diameter hole approximately. But if it doesn't work, I'd rather dig a hole and kill. But I've had a great week, and I'm going to stick with the old school stuff. They work.
I've used the black box with success in the past. I do like the gopher hawk, and in full disclosure, I deployed 2 of them a couple days ago and did not get any, so I'm going to redeploy them today. But I've had great success with them. I like looking out and seeing the yellow band telling me I've gotten a gopher.
I do like that. That's very nice. And that is one of the benefits of the black box and the black hole
also.
Is because the trigger pops up and you can see it without having to shine a light down the hole and feel the Maccabee trap to see if it's tripped.
Now, do you stake your Maccabees with any kind of wire?
I do not stake them, but I do attach old baling rope to them. So they'd have to walk a long way.
Okay.
And usually their tunnels are on the more narrow side, so they're going to have it. Oh, actually, no. Once they're tripped, they're much more narrow. They'd fit through there. Never mind.
The reason I was reading, UC University of California Integrated Pest Management talks about staking them because they will be stolen by predators,
right.
Coyotes and such. We had a gentleman call the other day. He lost a gopher hawk. He deployed 2 gopher hawks, and then he told me that his gopher hawk was missing. And he went out and started digging, thinking maybe it got pulled down. And I don't think – I told him I don't believe that could happen. I said, I believe a coyote probably – you were successful with your deployment, and the
coyote
came and took it away.
Well,
I would think that would be logical,
What did you learn about where their dens are?
Well, what's interesting
– maybe he
took
it
home.
What
we did learn was that gophers – their burrow system can cover anywhere from 200 to 2,000 square feet. Which is pretty interesting, and they only burrow the burrows that are, 2.5 inches or so wide in diameter. But their burrows that they feed in are 6 to 12 inches below the soil line. That's normally where we'd catch them with our traps. But their actual nesting area and food storage chambers can be as deep as 6 feet, depending on the soil.
Wow!
So you don't typically put those probes or gopher hawks or anything else down 6 feet.
Yeah,
so it's usually in those
run
feeding
into a leech line down there.
It's in those. Well, but actually, that's where some of our most vigorous activity is in the leech lines. They're all over the place there because it's looser soil.
Do you remember the movie?
No,
the grass is always greener.
Over the septic tank. Yes.
Do we have time to talk to Nurse Pam about her worms? Earthworms. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. Good morning. We have raised beds that were haven't been used in years, it's been they've been growing lots of weeds, but nothing else. And my son is getting the soil ready for because he wants to plant tomatoes. Anyway, he said there was no earthworms in the soil when he was turning it over. And I remember that my gardener, who is, that I had at the time, and this is years ago, used Roundup in the in those planters, and I was really upset because I don't like Roundup. And I wondered, and he is upset because he says it stays forever. And I'm wondering what we should do about it.
I would just amend the soil and add some worms and some rich soil, because the Roundup probably did not kill the earthworms. If it did, it has dissipated since then. And probably the raised planters drying out during the summer is what killed the worms that were in there. It would, they would not be able to survive if they got dry.
Yeah, if there's no moisture, yeah.
Oh, 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 that's good. That really, and now, I remember, you know, I'm not able to do any gardening anymore, but I remember that it seems like there was something you put, like calcium, to keep the tomatoes from developing bottom rot or black rot.
You are correct.
Well, do eggshells help?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And I would add, do you still have horses out there, correct?
Yes.
Do you compost their manure?
Well, I used to, but since I'm not the one that's bringing my compost at the moment does not have any horse manure in it, but I'm going to add some.
Well, I would, and there's probably some worms in that compost if it stays moist during the summer. And adding that back into your raised bed with some fresh either dirt or potting soil, blend it all together, and it should reinvigorate and re-enliven. Is re-enliven? Can we?
It is now.
That's a good word.
We're going to re-enliven your soil and make it biologically active. What's your word? Microbial.
Microbial. We're gonna increase the microbial activity.
That's a phrase, but that's the one I was looking for. And get that in there, and then your plants, your bed should be ready to go when the sun finally comes out for an extended period.
I'm with you. I've been loving all this rain, but I'm really missing the sun.
Kindred spirit.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but she says it joyously with a smile. You said it like curmudgeonly.
I did. I accept that. Yes. I'm done with the rain.
Okay. All righty, Pam. Yeah. Any other questions?
No, I think that. Yeah. How's your dad?
He's doing well. He is going to a wedding today, and he's bitter he can't find his long underwear. but we're going to take him a blanket, and I'm glad I didn't say that on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks. I'll tell him you said hi. Thanks for the call, Pam.
You do that for me. Thank you.
Okay, will do. Bye-bye. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take a quick break at the bottom, and we'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with more Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman.
Yes.
We are now going to chat with the previously mentioned Farmer Roy from Poway Gardens, a memory care community.
Correct.
Good morning. Good morning, Roy. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Doing well.
I think we're well. I mentioned on the show this morning that I needed to text you the phone number to make sure you'd call, and then I forgot to do it, and I'm glad I texted it to you yesterday.
Got you on speed dial, buddy.
Way to go. So what's going on, Mr. Roy?
Well, I just wanted to stir up the pot, telling the folks that I'll be out there at your place in Powell at 9:30 to talk about tomatoes and get everybody excited. Someday spring will come and
we'll be ready for it.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 13 years growing in Poway, and this has been the most brutal winter I've ever experienced.
Brutal winter, ladies and gentlemen. Brutal. That's the phrase we're going to use because we have had rain for once. Oh, and we had cold early too, right? What makes it brutal?
Got frosted. All my tomatoes and squash got frosted out there right around Valentine's Day, which didn't really surprise me all that much because the year before we got a frost like on the 28th of February. But the one that came right around the first week of March just, you know, God, that was, that just kind of set me back. But we're up and rolling today and a little chilly, but things will get warmer. Mother Nature has a way of reciprocating, so we'll probably have 115-degree weather in August.
So true.
So why should people come and listen to you talk about tomatoes, Roy?
Because I'm extremely passionate about tomatoes. I love tomatoes, as most growers do. It's the king of the spring gardens, and I've been growing them for over 40 years, and I was a commercial grower in Baja for 20 years, and grew thousands of acres of tomatoes, and now I grow just a few, but
you know, Roy, you just said you grow just a few, but you are incredibly productive on just a few of those parts of acres there. What's your annual weight of product that you bring into the tables there?
We bring in about 25,000 pounds a year of fresh organic vegetables. Tomatoes are the number one star of the show. But we have roughly 40, 50-foot rows, and we crank it out. We crank it out. We still got a lot of broccoli and cauliflower. Again, it was so cold that all my numbers are really down this year. But they'll pick up. They'll pick up when least expected.
You know, I know you said you had a passion for growing tomatoes, and that's why we should listen to you. I always get sentimental. I come out of my sarcastic shell when I see you at your memory care community there, and even though you're a what I would call a gruff exterior appearing person, you are passionate about everything you do over there, not just your growing of the plants. I've seen you with your people and with the kids and all the different things you do over there, and it's heartening to see that happen.
Yeah, well, in fact, after my gig at your place today, I'll have we have an intergenerational garden club where we have local homeschool and preschool kids come, and they have their own little garden, and they work, and they planted. We got put in like 11 varieties of cherry tomatoes this year, and then we'll have an annual taste test, and they'll harvest snow peas today and Swiss chard, and they're going to plant my eggplant for the year. So and then we go to the greenhouse and bond with their grandmas and grandpas here.
Fantastic. And do these kids like the Swiss chard, or do you turn them off from gardening by harvesting Swiss chard with them?
You know, surprisingly enough, kale and Swiss chard, they love. I don't know if it's the colors of the bright light Swiss chard, but the kale they love. And they've learned to love and eat right out of the garden all the time. So the few snow peas we have today, those will get consumed on site. And then when the cherry tomatoes are kicking in, they'll, it's like one
that
of
is
the
wonderful.
Bags in the mouth.
You mentioned the brutal winter and the cold. Have you had any problems with the rain, the physical amounts of rain or runoff, anything like that that have been problems for you or your garden?
Surprisingly, no. You know, anything over a half inch, we tend to notice a little erosion and whatnot, but everything got sucked up pretty good. So I mean, we got weeds in places I've never imagined, but actually not. And got some free irrigation, so saved a little money there.
Saved a lot. I've not used much water at all, other than trying to flood out gophers. Oh, I did get one that way, too, so 11.
Gophers have been brutal this year. I guess water is life, and they're finding food and reproducing like crazy. But, every day we attack the gophers.
Well, if you want to hire me, I'm on a streak right now. I'm hot on the gopher trail, so I've gotten at least 10 this week. So,
Very good. Yeah, we got 3 yesterday. So we'll get them. We'll get a hold on it.
All righty, Roy. Thanks for calling in, and I'll see you in Poway in just a little while.
You got it, buddy.
Take care, Roy.
Buddy. Bye.
That was Farmer Roy from Poway Gardens.
So he said that they've been brutal, and one of the things that the University of California speaks to is that densities can be as high as 60 or more per acre in irrigated fields.
Well, thank goodness I don't have the whole acre. I only have 0.95, so that's many fewer.
So much fewer.
Yes.
Okay.
And you've gotten most of them now. You're working your way through population.
You know what happened is when I first bought that property and moved on to it, I went after gophers and I cleared most of them out, and then I got complacent.
We did that with squirrels and got a little bit complacent, and they're coming back.
We need to head down to Chula Vista and talk to Ed about his ice plant question. You got questions? Hopefully we've got answers. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. It's good to hear you guys on the radio. You know, as I look out my back kitchen window, I have a slope that slopes into the property, 66 feet long, 20 feet high, and it's covered with, or it was covered with, red apple ice plant. And unfortunately, as a result of the rain, it has been turning brown, brown, brown. Do you have any recommendations? Have I lost that completely?
It may be gone completely. Red apple was the first and most susceptible ice plant to downy mildew, which just does exactly what you're describing, and the moisture is part of that problem. We had a couple of products that you could spray on to control it. One was, and the other was...
Was it the Immunox that people were using?
No. One is Fisan, and the other is Agrifos.
Agrifos.
And they are controls, they're not cures. And if there's anything still rooted and alive there, spraying it with the Agrifos should help bring it back. But it's an ongoing issue.
Unfortunately, yes.
And it happens.
How long has that been? Like 10 years or something?
Probably between 5 and 10 years. And it's affecting most of the varieties of ice plant. It started just with the red apple, but I've seen many other varieties succumb to it. I have seen some varieties, the one that's coming to mind most is Rosea, where it has succumbed, parts of it survive, and then it will regrow with a more resistant variety. So I don't know if there's any parts of your red apple that did not succumb, but that is a natural way to kind of move forward through it. But I would consider treating it. If that doesn't work, I would consider a different ground cover.
There's an interesting article in the San Diego Union Tribune from 2016 in which the guy you're talking to, David Ross, here was quoted, and they were talking about this new disease that has impacted the red apple, and it has a couple ideas in there, but the key thing was trying to keep it as dry as possible, which might be a little bit of a challenge right now. But if you were to type in red apple disease, San Diego Union Tribune, you'll read a good article about it and when they found the downy mildew.
Okay, fellas. I appreciate the advice. Thank you, fellas. Thank you very much.
Thanks
I appreciate the advice. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. I remember that first property I went to. It was in North Poway, and I'd never seen it before. Nothing bothered red apple.
What were you talking about?
And it was a summer thunderstorm was the moisture, and it was the shadier areas of this property where the red apple was wiped out.
Yeah.
And it's spread everywhere. They think that came over on a storm.
I think it's something about New Zealand or somewhere. Yeah. Interesting.
Gosh, that was 7 years ago. That's okay. Somewhere, but that's almost 10, and it's somewhere between
yeah,
5 and 10.
I remember.
There is all sorts of good information coming out on Garden Talk this morning. We are, look at the time. You are listening to Garden Talk on here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. We're going to take our last break, and we'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. If you would like to give us a call, 888-344-1170. I'm talking a little faster because we're running out of time here. And
so much
there's
to cover.
Another call.
Very good.
Good morning, John. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I think good. We're doing all right. I have a question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I just watched a video of you showing how to deploy a gopher hawk, and I didn't see a positive result at the end of that video. It ended, and George was saying you were a more friendly and conscientious person, so you didn't want to show the results. I want to know, did you catch a gopher on that deployment?
I did get the gopher the next morning,
okay,
as I had anticipated. And part of the thing is that somehow there are folks, bless their hearts, I can understand.
He's talking to you, David.
I know, it's coming. He's setting me up.
to lethally dispatch. Is that a very politically correct
phrase? Yes,
that's a perfect phrase.
Okay. To lethally dispatch a gopher, there is no other way. I can't talk them out of the hole. I can't ask them to move to another neighborhood. We must lethally dispatch them. So
correct.
Anyway, yes, we did. And people get very upset. And, I made the mistake years ago of posting in San Diego Gardener in our Facebook group a picture of the biggest gopher I ever caught in a black box trap. And this sucker was about 2 pounds. just huge. And I was so proud of that. It was like I wanted to parade that around and show everybody. And, oh, my goodness, you'd think that there was going to be a lynch mob for me. Forget, they would lethally dispatch me, guys. So.
yes, because I've had no success with the gopher hawk. And I watched your video, and I may try again. But I shouldn't try again. I'm having tremendous success with my old school methods.
I'll tell you, the thing to do is the thing that works for you. And so I think I had indicated on my Facebook posts of that video that I use 3 to 4 different methods at the garden. I use cinch traps. I use black box. I use Maccabees. I use the Gonzo. I use whatever works. And a lot of that is dependent upon the kind of soil profile that I'm working in. The gopher hawks don't work well in sandy soil. But if you've got decomposed granite, if you've got a heavy clay soil, they're great. It's nice to not have to dig.
All right. See, I was all set and moving forward with old school. And now I'm thinking, because John is talking so nicely to me about this, that I should give it another chance.
What are you saying?
John,
it makes sense.
Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on and talking about that, because I've been an advocate of the gopher hawk and have had success over the years. And whenever I talk to David, he's like, okay, I'm going to try it again. And then he comes in and complains to me or emails me or texts me just wanking and that he hasn't had any success.
Over the years, George, have you caught as many as I've gotten in the last week?
I don't have a population as big as you have.
How do you know?
Because I don't have any of that damage that you have. Every time I see a gopher, we get it in a matter of, I don't know, week or so.
Mr. Clements, do you believe that on his 2.5 acres... Two acres that he does not have a decent gopher population.
I have a larger squirrel population, I think, than we have gopher population.
Well, the ground squirrels are even tougher to get rid of.
Correct.
Let's just say that my control methods for the ground squirrels involve a scope.
Yeah, let's just leave it right there.
Well, John, I have the exact same device,
I think. Let's just leave it right there. I lost mine in a boating accident, and they've never been recovered. Thank you very much for the call, Mr. Clements, from the San Diego Botanic Garden.
Oh, but before I go,
if
we have a chance, I just wanted to put a plug in that we have the orchid show still going on in the conservatory. And it's fabulous. The fragrance of the orchids knocks you out when you come in. And they're being changed out. Every Tuesday, we get a new crop of orchids, and so it looks at its absolute best.
And
today, there will be vendors, too. And they are selling orchids so cheaply, and they're really high-quality, hard-to-get stuff for not much money.
And they're being knocked out by a good way with the fragrance, not like when the Amorphophallus was blooming, correct? A different knockout
the
fragrance.
The corpse flower?
Yes.
A different fragrance.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
I have shared with you, I think for me, it's a function of the time of the year. I'm much more successful with the Gulf Hawk typically in the winter and moister soil time.
This is perfect for deploying gopher hawk.
Right.
Perfect soil. And I'm going to redeploy the gopher hawk before I return it to my place of purchase for a full credit. hopefully. I'll have to talk to the manager there and see what I can work out. But what I'm not going to do is ignore the other traps. I'm going to still set the other traps.
Oh, absolutely agree.
Which is
absolutely.
What I have not done.
Absolutely.
We were talking about the water and the rain and the
soggy soil.
Soggy soils. We were talking about planting versus not planting. It depends on your soil, but for the most part, your soils are probably pretty saturated and will kind of patty cake or collapse if you try and dig into them right after these rains.
Plus, you end up with, in many soils that have a lot of clay that John was speaking of earlier, that clay will, you get these big clumps that will harden inside, and you don't have all that actual soil filling the root zone the way you want it to.
So unless your soil has
a lot of organic material.
Yeah, and is very coarse.
It'd probably
be a good time to wait a week or two to dig. I have some areas of the yard where I cannot dig, and some areas of the yard where the soil's okay. I've discovered that from digging for gophers. snails. We talked about how much of a problem they are. I found a snail burrowing in one of our pots at the nursery, laying eggs.
Laying eggs, yeah. Well, we might talk about that next week in Wednesday Wisdom.
We didn't talk about controls.
Right. Yeah, but what's your favorite control besides your chickens?
Well, the chickens are good. Squashing them...
That's effective when you're out there, but they're coming out at night and attacking your plants.
I think Sluggo Plus, Sluggo Max.
What is Sluggo Max?
It's
just a higher percentage.
It's a more better.
Okay.
A more better Sluggo. Kevin just texted me and said it'll do 11,000 square feet or something.
Okay.
So
yeah, the Sluggo is iron phosphate. It's organic. It's safe around your animals and safe around your food.
They need iron. Right. John Clements is a huge proponent of iron, correct?
He is, especially for citrus.
So this would be helpful to put around them.
Correct.
I guess since you brought us back to citrus, we should just real quickly remind people to continue trying to control the Asian citrus psyllid as it shows up on the new growth. A horticultural oil spray this time of the year would be great for doing that, and us preventing the spread is the best thing we can do. We have classes coming up
at 9 o'clock San Diego, Staghorn Fern Care and Remounting with Olivia, and in Poway, as you just heard, tomato care with and culture and selections with Farmer Roy, 9:30.
Well, that is it for Garden Talk this week. You've been listening to Garden Talk. Auto Talk is coming up next. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news.
Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.